Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, we do need to, it's kind of weird. We were talking about this, and
it
then
really
David
was.
Wrote a story about this. But you had asked me the question, should we talk with Chip, who's coming up in a half hour, about new laws that go into place, like the left-hand driving law?
Mm-hmm.
And what did I say?
You said, no, it doesn't go into effect.
Yeah, but I always wanted to double check and look. And because I know, David, you were just talking about this a little bit as well. And, you know, I think most people do think that this law goes into effect tomorrow. The law as proposed, which was SB, was it 317? That's what I have in my head. 317. Yeah, that's right. HB, sorry, 317, Interstate Safety. The law prohibits driving in the left lane unless you're passing on a road that's more than 65 miles an hour. Period. Like right now, like the current prohibition is you can't impede traffic. So if you're in the left lane, even if you're speeding and you're in the left lane and somebody else wants to speed faster than you, you have to get over in Florida. That's the law currently. You cannot impede traffic with being in the left-hand lane in a more than 65 mile an hour zone. And then this one, it's interesting because this one had passed through the House. This would prohibit all driving in the left lane unless you're actively passing. So no driving, even if the road surface is terrible in the right lane, you can't drive in the left lane. This passed the House overwhelmingly. It was, what was the number? It was 113-3 in the House. And then in the Senate, it was unanimous, I think, if I remember correctly. 37-0. And the governor vetoed it. This law does not go into effect. The governor vetoed it. And in his veto letter, which I actually thought was a great example of good reason being applied to something that sailed through too quickly. They all let it speed on through too easily. I don't know.
Anyway,
so he said there's two problems here. Number one is that people could be inadvertently breaking the law even there's no other traffic around and they're in the left hand, which they would be. That would be breaking the law. The other one is he said there was a concern that high congestion areas like in Central and South Florida, where you might have four or five lanes, and it would make congestion worse. Because people would be afraid to drive in the left lane for fear of getting a ticket. And so he vetoed it. It wasn't that notable of a veto, but it did get reported on back in June. But somehow, whoever had been the source on that, you know, statewide story that you're reporting on, David, had forgotten the veto had happened. And so, no, it's not actually going into place tomorrow. And I actually agree with that reasoning. I think you shouldn't be able to impede the left-hand lane, but I'll just tell you one example of I'll drive in the left-hand lane when, you know, a lot of times the right-hand lane, which gets used by the trucks, is very choppy and they haven't repaired it yet. And I'm like, why am I wasting a perfectly good lane, to drive over there? So, that's a weird coincidence because you and I were actually talking about it.
Yes, we were.
Then we heard David mention it, so no big deal. David, are you there? I want to give you a chance to, people make mistakes, right?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
All right. I probably should have remembered that. I don't know. So many things happen in a given week or month or year, and I forget.
Can I tell you what happens to me a lot? And I've noticed this. We followed the details of these bills as they work their way through the legislature, and we're in on the, this is the tweak, and this is the amendment, and this is... And half the time, a year later, I can't remember whether the bill passed or didn't pass, and then what the particulars were. Like, seriously, I don't know why. This one, for whatever reason, stuck with me. But a lot of times I realize, wait, is that?
Well, I've got to hand it to you, because I'm at the point in my life where I think every time I learn something new, something else just goes
The Homer Simpson effect. I'm forgetting a kid's birthday now because I got to remember this person's name.
So every new thing that happens is just something else is gone.
100%. Yeah. All right. Hey, David, thanks so much. 714 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Speaking of things that might be different here in the at least near future, maybe. President Trump was in, was this Tucson? I think this was in Tucson at the Turning Point, or maybe it was Phoenix, at the Turning Point Action Conference earlier about, a week ago, the 22nd?
President McKinley was the president that was responsible for creating a vast sum of money in the United States that Teddy Roosevelt then spent. So let's say they were both excellent presidents, but McKinley did that, and that's one of the reasons that we're going to bring back the name of Mount McKinley, because I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. There are lots of things we can name, but I think he deserves it. That was not very gracious to somebody that did a good job. And as you know, he was assassinated. He was assassinated.
Yeah, that last part, it's interesting. He feels maybe a weird kind of affinity for McKinley. Of course, he's had two assassination attempts against him. But yeah, good. Good. Change it back. It was that way all of my life, and then all of a sudden it was something different. Come on. Just put it back. Put it back the way it was. Well, you can't change it back. It's what it is. Well, it was what it was, and you changed it. So the problem with change as your default orientation towards policy is that you have no basis to argue against somebody making a change again. And, you know, what sometimes I mock in the Transgressors Memorial Service on Fridays, the early service and late service where I play a pastor who's a woke pastor, you know, celebrating the woke things in satire. But, you know, the problem with change for change's sake as the only thing that you really believe in is you always got to be looking for more change. And that means that by definition, you never found the right thing when you made an improvement. And that's the problem. You can't even argue that, well, we should keep it because we've changed it. Well, that would have been the argument against changing it in the first place. So there's no basis on which to say, well, you know, the 2 years old tradition that it's called Denali or whatever it is. Actually, it's older than that. When did they switch it? Would you look that up, John? I think it was that under the Obama administration? When did they change it to Denali? I know they just changed all of the forts, and that's one that he said he's going to reverse too.
And as Commander-in-Chief, I will restore the proud and historic names of our great military bases like Fort Bragg. We're going to get them back. And woke has to stop. Because along with everything else, it's destroying our country. We're going to stop woke. Woke. Woke is bullshit.
You know, I don't usually use the profanity myself so much. I do sometimes. I'm trying to use it less and less. It's not a New Year's resolution or anything. It's just, you know, I realized my use of it had gotten a little bit lazy and want to cut back. But I think that's an accurate description. So 2015, right?
That, yep.
Yeah. So under Obama, I had it right. So it's been that way for now 9 years. You know, well, change it back. No big deal. And yeah, the Fort Bragg, Fort Liberty, all of that nonsense. Stop separating people from their traditions. Just leave it. Leave it be. And educate into the problem if there is a problem. And usually there's not. It's amazing. I was actually talking to somebody in the military. Somebody was in the Army and, you know, talking with them, you know, because they had been stationed at what they... And they said, I was stationed at Liberty. And I'm like, you mean Bragg? And they're like, yes, sir. You know, like, they were so ashamed of having to say it that way. And I said, doesn't that create problems for you with communication and identity and history? And like, yes, sir. I'm like, but you can't really do anything about it. No, sir. You know, I mean, like, and I'm like, yeah, exactly. This is bad. So good for Trump. He's going to change it back. 7:18 on News Radio 92.3. Did I do traffic yet? I didn't yet.
No.
Right? All right, go on, sir.
Waiting for my
all the 15 non-things to report.
Well, actually, we've got no accidents, but... So, you know, just kind of mention something.
But that's it.
Palafox.
Make something up.
If you're at the light of Palafox and Cervantes.
You're still waiting?
Go, yeah, you're still waiting. It's just congestion there.
The light on the off ramp from I-110 going north onto Brent to turn left, it's still long today.
Yes. Very good. Boy.
If you're stuck at Brent and Davis Highway and you want to turn right where it says you can't turn right, it's annoying.
It is.
Just like every other day. I feel... Okay, all right, this is a genuine thing. This is not related to actual traffic that's going on, but it is one of those, I'm just going to say it, and you're going to know that it's true. But you know how on Davis Highway, like we work here, so sometimes if I want to go north on Davis coming out of our area by mm-hmm. University Mall, you can't make U-turns? Like you where you would go to go east on I-10, you can't make a U-turn there, right?
Right.
Because it says no U-turn. The no U-turn sign should be illegal.
It should.
Because the no U-turn sign... is an admission that you bleeped up. Because the only place you ever have to put a no U-turn sign,
right,
is at a place where everybody wants to make a U-turn because you bleeped up. Because you design traffic so badly that enough people feel the need to make the U-turn there, which means it's a useful thing to be able to make a U-turn there. And then you put a sign up that says no U-turn at the place where people need to be. And usually, you know, this is often the case. There's not just the one, but then at the next
In
the median, there's another no U-turn sign.
Yes.
I just want to, look, I appreciate our traffic engineers. I don't always agree with them, but I appreciate what they do to keep us safe, and they are doing their best.
But they don't drive it.
But every once in a while, you do want to grab one and just spank them real hard. Because you're like, bro, or sis, you know, like.
What were you thinking?
What? Why? Yeah, it's, and I don't want to say it's in that generalized category of, you know, hate the engineers because the engineers don't use the thing that they engineered, you know, but man, if I, you know, of all the traffic related things that irritate me the most ever, it doesn't happen that often, but it has got to be the no U-turn sign. When all you need to do is make a dang U-turn.
Right.
And then am I going to get arrested for this? Those, be honest. What percentage of the time that you pull up to an unknown intersection where you want to make a U-turn, it says don't make a U-turn, do you make it anyway?
Yeah.
I'm 75%.
Yeah.
I will.
Agree with you.
It's usually when we're traveling.
Yes.
You've gone the wrong way and you're like, oh, I got to fix it.
Then we scream out, hey, we're just visitors. You know, we're visiting. Yeah.
Florida plate in Texas. You know,
exactly.
Give me a break. 721 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Lasting strength for life is found in deep and sincere study of the Word of God. Specifically, if you're seeking strength for life, I challenge you to study the Gospel of John. The book's thesis explains that it has two main objectives. First, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And second, that believing ye might have life through his name. The 21 chapters set out to prove that Jesus was the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied about. And secondly, the Gospel of John offers eternal life in heaven through Jesus. Lasting strength for life starts and ends with belief in Jesus. So take time to read the Gospel according to John. You may be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138, visit Prevnar20.com, or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Hey everyone, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager for ADX Communications. Here's to a brand new year filled with joy, success, and endless possibilities. Happy New Year, and let's make this year unforgettable. Cheers to health, happiness, and chasing our dreams in 2025. Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Sarah, the company coordinator, and here's to a wonderful 2025.
Hello, this is Howard Seaton, marketing consultant, wishing everyone a happy and prosperous new year.
Happy New Year!
Make 2025 a great year full of hope and prosperity. Hey, this is Chris Bryan, host of Pensacola Right Now, wishing you a happy new year.
Anyone who's an enemy of evil is a friend of mine.
Mandingo, how I grok your mouth music.
Yes. I'm going to do my best Samuel Jackson voice here. Somebody texts us and says, say U-turn one more time. somebody else says that John and I sound like kids in the 80s ordering pizza for delivery to their neighbor and then giggling as they show up. We do not. We do not sound like that. But thank you. David Wayne is... Oh, sorry. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John, stop giggling.
I know, but no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-1, dinner looking good. Not seeing any delays. You know, don't want to make stuff up. But anyway, no delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, U.S. investigators are now on the ground in South Korea, assisting after the crash that killed 179 people last weekend. The plane went off the runway and hit a wall, then burst into flames. Only 2 people survived. Members of the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board are with that team that's now on the ground. They're investigating. That includes advisors from the FAA, Boeing, and also the engine manufacturer CFM International. The U.S. Treasury Department says a state-sponsored Chinese hacking operation got into desktop computers of U.S. Treasury employees. They're describing this as a major incident. The Treasury Department says it was notified earlier this month of the hack, which they say only included unclassified documents. So there's a feel-good for you.
Well, fine. You know, no
big
deal.
Unclassified. No big deal.
Fine. Whatever. They're running, you know, DOS 3.0 or whatever on their computers.
DOS 3.0? That's great.
Well, I was thinking Windows 95, but yeah, you were there.
You're probably not wrong. Mine is ridiculous. Yours is probably close.
Somehow they hacked our 5.25-inch floppy. I don't know. I don't understand it.
No, those are probably super secure now because you can't even get a reader for them. 5.25-inch floppy. You're killing me. And anyone under 35 has no idea what you're talking about, which
what
is fine.
What do you mean floppy?
Yeah, I don't know. 727, let's see. Speaking of technology, see, you like that? This is a crazy story. So over the summer, I guess, researchers had done some work with ChatGPT and other AI to see if they were good at diagnosing illnesses. You know, the next frontier of replacing human endeavor, to see if they can do what doctors do. And they took 150 case studies diagnosing less than 50% of the time they got it right. So you think, one profession saved. Not so fast. AI is getting better. So in the Journal of the American Medical Association Network Open, they've done this again. And the study was several different groups. Group number one was the doctors did the diagnosing with the help of AI. Okay, so they, you know, read the information and they diagnosed it with AI. Then the doctors did it without AI using traditional methods of, you know, looking stuff up and researching journals and Google and whatever, okay, that they might normally do in a difficult case. And then they also did one where they let the AI do it all on their own. Okay, so doctors with AI, doctors without AI, and then AI on their own. Here's what's weird. Doctors who used AI in the diagnosis, partnered with the artificial intelligence, were 76% correct, which is, I mean, not high, but it's well above 50.
Yeah.
Right. Doctors who didn't use AI, 74%. So the AI was ever so slightly helpful with the doctors. You ready for the scary one?
No.
This is the bad one.
Okay.
This is the one you don't want to hear. When the AI was given the information and did it all on its own, 90% accurate.
90?
90. And so, by the way, these were all like novel cases, so it wasn't something that could have, you know, these were real cases, but they had not yet been published in any other, so it's not like the AI could learn it by having read about it, right? Okay. So the AI did it right 90% of the time. Why did the doctors using ChatGPT or without ChatGPT, why did they get it wrong? Because doctors are arrogant and stubborn.
I love my doctor.
The AI would tell them it was one thing and the doctor wouldn't go with the AI.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the doctors, and listen, doctors, I think, need to be kind of arrogant. You know, the work you do, putting people's lives, and I mean, you need to have confidence. But maybe just a little bit less commitment to what you intuit or think is. But man,
90% still blows my mind.
90% correct by the AI and 76 or 74% when the human is involved. So reducing, and I mean it's a small scale, okay, small test. Are we quite ready to turn over medicine to the Whopper and Skynet? No, but that's scary that the human stubbornness factor, the human error factor, and misplaced confidence factor was enough to make the wrong, like to add error into the system. Oh, man. Very, very, very discouraging study. All right, we're going to have Chip Simmons, the Scammy County Sheriff, will be in the studio next. Stick around.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. People around the world are welcoming in the new year. Those fireworks coming from Auckland, New Zealand, where it's already a couple hours into 2025. In New York City, preparations underway for the big Times Square ball drop.
And at 11:59 tonight, it will drop about 70 feet in exactly 60 seconds as we ring in the new year, a tradition of more than 100 years in Times Square. More than 1 million people are expected to be in the crowd when the clock strikes midnight.
That's Fox's Chanley Painter in Washington, D.C. There will be a House Speaker vote Friday.
Republicans are heading into 2025 with the presidency, the Senate, and the House in hand. So President-elect Trump says now is not the time for Republicans to blow the opportunity he says they have been given by fighting over the Speaker's gavel.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. Trump now supporting Speaker Mike Johnson. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 64 degrees in Pensacola this morning. The girl that was charged in that deepfake nude pictures case involving several Pensacola girls has pleaded not guilty. The News Journal reports that 17-year-old Jalen Lee was in court yesterday. She's charged with 8 counts of promoting an altered sexual depiction of an identifiable person without consent, which is a third-degree felony. Those pictures were made by her boyfriend on an AI app. Police say she copied the photos and sent them to 17 people, some of which were depicted in the photographs and some of which were not. The teen that created the photos has not been charged with a crime. Officials investigating after a fatal train accident in the cantonment area yesterday. The sheriff's office says a southbound train hit a person on the tracks between Archer and Old Chemstrand Roads. That caused some backups yesterday afternoon. One person in the hospital after a crash between a vehicle and a semi-truck on I-10 yesterday. That happened near the Scenic Highway exit at about 3 p.m. One person was trapped in the vehicle, had to be extricated by firefighters. They were taken to a nearby hospital on a trauma alert. Community Health of Northwest Florida has now reopened all 17 of their locations. This is after a cyber attack last
week. During holidays, we have shut down all of our systems to make sure that the integrity of our patient information is protected. We have forensic engineers coming in to really do a full-on assessment of where we are and what our next steps need to be.
That is CEO Chandra Smiley, and she says they reopened, so anybody who needs care is able to get it, but some of their facilities may have limited communications ability, and she says patients might experience longer wait times than normal. That cyber attack happened last Tuesday. Utility bills might be going up for FPL customers, according to the News Service of Florida. Florida Power and Light is now looking for an increase in their base electric rates. That would take effect as soon as 2026. They plan to file a detailed proposal for a $1.55 billion rate hike with the Public Service Commission in February. In a letter to the PSC, the utility said that increase is needed because they have substantial customer growth and need to improve their infrastructure. They plan to seek additional rate hikes as well to pay for solar energy and battery projects. FPL's current base rate plan expires at the end of 2025. The PSC did recently approve a $184 million base rate increase for Tampa Electric and a settlement that will increase Duke Energy's base rates by about $203 million. FPL says they plan to seek a midpoint increase of around 11.9%. Florida paying tribute to Jimmy Carter, Governor DeSantis yesterday, calling for flags across the state to fly at half staff in honor of the former president. Carter died on Sunday at 100 years old. DeSantis says flags will be at half staff at all local and state buildings, installations, and grounds across the state as a mark of respect. That'll be in effect until sunset on January 28th. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 and 98 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Nice sunny weather today with a temperature near 70 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, no going into your New Year's Eve near 46 degrees. New Year's Day, plenty of sunshine, high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, it is partly cloudy. We've got 64 degrees in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, 60 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Cocoa and coffee are poised to close 2024 as the biggest gainers among commodities for a second year. Cocoa nearly tripled in price during 2024, hitting a record high of just over $12,900 per metric ton earlier this month. Natural gas future prices surged yesterday, hitting a new 52-week high following reports of a colder-than-usual temperature outlook for the East Coast in January. Natural gas February futures rose around 15% during the session. An upcoming Treasury Department deadline for millions of small businesses to fulfill a new reporting requirement on beneficial ownership information has been delayed again following a court order that suspended enforcement. The regulation is designed to prevent criminals from hiding illicit activity conducted through shell companies or opaque ownership structures. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 418, the NASDAQ down 235, and the S&P 500 down 63. That's Your Money Now.
Have you given your auto loan a second thought lately? Just like you might refinance a home for a better deal, you can do the same with your auto loan. Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PenAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. Take your old auto loan off of autopilot with PenAir to lower your interest and payments. Learn more at PenAir.org/auto-refi. That's PenAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between November 1st and December 31st, 2024 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENAIR for complete details.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's Chief Financial Officer, wishing each of you a Merry Christmas. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress." Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, "Fight, fight, fight." That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, "Yes, sir." I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
Ring in the new year with the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce and the largest fireworks display on the Gulf Coast. Watch the skies light up over Santa Rosa Sound at midnight. The next day, dive into the new year at the 2025 Polar Bear Plunge. Join the crowd at Paradise Bar and Grill tomorrow from noon to 3 p.m. and take a chilly dip in costume. Hundreds of dippers participate in this tradition, so don't miss out. Visit PensacolaBeachChamber.com for details.
News Radio 92.3 remembers Jimmy Carter.
I think we have a nation that is truly great, not that used to be great or someday will be great again, but one that has an innate character about it that's not adequately recognized.
Jimmy Carter served one term as our 35th president, but since he left office in 1980, he set the gold standard of what a past president of the United States could accomplish. He was a man who used his faith to try to do the right thing, even though it may have cost him politically.
News Radio 92.3.
We'll be right back.
7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And in studio with us on New Year's Eve, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons in what I would call, how would you describe this? It's not your lawman's outfit. You're not wearing your uniform.
It's not my lawman's outfit. This is my Andrew McKay outfit.
Oh, you look like me. You got shorts and tennis shoes and a sweater over the top.
Quarter zip, long sleeve.
You're trying to outdo me. Trying to make.
No, I'm.
Because when we stand next to each other, people never look at me, except adversely.
You're gonna start talking.
You gonna grow your hair out too?
Yeah, I think I'll do that.
No,
I'll
probably just not. All right.
I don't know if I've ever seen you wear a hat.
Occasionally, rarely, every once in a while for baseball, you know. Or the cool hat that they gave us, which are really nice. All right, on to serious matters on New Year's Eve. We had a horrible story. A man was hit and killed by a train in Atmore, Archer, Old Chemstrand kind of vicinity. Is that right?
Yeah. The report is that a train had seen someone. Obviously, the last minute they stopped, but you don't stop trains quickly. When I was at the Pensacola Police Department, this would actually happen quite often.
We had over on Scenic Highway.
Yeah. And we always wonder how you get hit by a train. They're loud.
Yeah.
And they've got a big light. And, sometimes people don't intentionally get out of the way.
I understand.
But we were caught up there, and unfortunately there was a deceased male underneath the train, and obviously had to work with a CSX railroad to get that person out. We're investigating it. We're working with the railroads and trying to identify the individual.
I always think that that's got to be an awful thing for a train conductor. You know, I think like the subway cases, all that kind of stuff. Just like, I know when somebody dies like in a car crash, it's awful. It's hard to get back in the car. But for those people, it's a horrible thing. You also had a, there's a fight last night. Is that right? A fracas?
We had a fight on Softly Pines Road. We got a report that a guy was attacking a woman who was in the car with a pipe. When we get there, he's talking what is termed as gibberish. We established that there was probable cause to make an arrest, obviously, with a pipe attacking a car. That's not cool. So we ended up trying to arrest the guy, and he hit us with a mop and took several deputies to subdue this particular individual. So
the woman's okay?
The woman is okay. The deputies are okay.
People called. Several people called. That's
several
good.
Calls. Several
that's good?
Calls. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the... It also gives you an idea of how long it lasted and how obvious it was that this guy needed to be restrained. He was taken to the hospital to be checked out for what I was described as minor injuries, and then he's taken to the jail with multiple felonies.
Wow. All right.
Attacking a woman, obviously it was in a car, and also fighting and attempting to injure at least the deputies.
Question. Certainly in that case, if I'm a bystander, I can intervene to stop him physically. If I feel it's safe to do so, I can intervene.
It is.
I'm justified.
It is reasonable to think that someone whose life is in danger.
Yeah.
You can do that. We just ask that you be careful. I mean, sure. That guy's got a pipe. Don't injure yourself. Do whatever you can to keep everyone safe.
That was my next thought, is the way the situation is described to me, it sounds like her life is in danger. I'm justified in shooting him if I'm carrying.
I think that, again, considering where the individual is, what would a reasonable person believe could happen with a pipe? And I think, certainly if I'm in a car and you're attacking my car with a pipe, you may get one swing.
Yeah.
That's about it. So I think that, again, I hate to say, yes, you're good, no, you're not good.
Right.
But I think that again, we look at this reasonableness standard, and if you believe someone's life is in danger, then you can use
the reason deadly force. The reason it came up in my mind was I'm thinking, well, several people called. That means several people were seeing this happen. Nobody intervened. Why didn't anybody intervene? Did nobody care? You know, those are the kind of questions that were going on in my mind. That's the only reason I asked.
Well, again, and I don't know either, but we can imagine there's some potential that swinging the pipe wildly or that sort of thing,
right,
trying to attack someone. And if there's no other way, I mean, unless you got a bigger pipe, it may be best to just let law enforcement take care of it.
You guys also had, it had been in northofscambia.com, I know that we had one of the new Thrashers, I believe, the TH-73, the new helicopters from Whiting Field, which historically their helicopters do have mechanical problems and go down. That's not uncommon. But you had one that you guys had to respond to. Is that right over in, Atmore also?
Yeah, the Atmore cutoff. They had a military helicopter land because of mechanical issues. And I guess it's kind of scary the way you termed it, that those things go down. I don't know that I want to be in those when they go down. But these, I'm assuming if it's a trainer type thing, someone there's a experienced pilot. But the bottom line is it was able to land over there behind the, I think it's a Tom Thumb up there. There's plenty of land up there.
Yeah, right, plenty.
To land on, as long as you don't land on 29.
Yeah.
And to my understanding, there were no injuries, and the military took care of the military stuff.
Again, glad that, nothing really adverse happened. Speaking of things were at least attempted, back on Christmas Day, I think we had a you guys had a Terrence Franklin is wanted for an event that took place on Michael Drive on Christmas Day.
Yeah, this is the one, I believe, where he got into an argument with a family member and ended up shooting that family member and then fled the scene. So we have been looking for, you mentioned his name, Terrence James Franklin. He's born in 79. We've got him up on our social media platforms, wanted for attempted homicide. So if you know where Terrence James Franklin is, or where he may have fled to, please let us know, because we'd love to put him in jail.
And I know, actually, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Let's get John in here with traffic on the fives on a day where nobody is driving around. Go ahead, John.
No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much, John. This happened almost 2 weeks ago now, but it's a case that received a lot of attention, but you and I haven't obviously been on the air because I've been on vacation for a while. But the case with the Marine who was stationed at NES Pensacola, and my understanding, I guess, is he, contacted an escort, and then very bad things happened. And the investigation has produced a lot of really, awful details about this. Can you tell us some of what's going on in this case or what happened here?
Yeah. First of all, let me tell you that our deputies and investigators did a jam-up job getting on this pretty quickly. We first got a call that we'll call it a suspicious circumstance, but the lady was missing. The victim was missing. Mm-hmm. Her family and her friends noticed that the hotel door that she was staying in was left ajar. Her car was still in the parking lot. These things just weren't normal. When we get there, we noticed that, yes, the door was ajar, but there's also her phones were still there. Her keys were still there. The blanket from the bed in the hotel room was missing. Just some things that didn't look right. So we immediately started working it as not just suspicious, but we were working it as a potential homicide. Investigation, again, as I mentioned, our deputies did a great job. We located we identified at least a car that was in the parking lot at a given time. We tracked that back down to the military guy that you mentioned, Marine. And then we did more search warrants and more search warrants, and that led us to an area in Mobile, Alabama. We tracked that. Our detectives went over there and unfortunately found the deceased body of the missing female. Contacted Mobile Police Department. They helped us out with recovering the body from it was like a ditch or a retention area. It was partially in the water. And then we also did some search warrants on this individual's phone, Ellington's phone, and found some really disturbing searches, some Google searches. What does a body look like after 2 days? What's dead body look like after 2 days? Can you scream if you're being strangled? Just some crazy, crazy.
And how long things. Can you go before police are looking for you?
Yeah. Well, like? There's something about there was a search about how many homicides of or deaths of prostitutes go unsolved. It's so to us. Clearly, there was an intent. This is before he shows up at the hotel. There was a cord, I think it was a PlayStation cord, that was left at the hotel room. And then we were able to figure out where he was going. He was heading up to up in Alabama,
okay,
up near, I guess, Talladega area, and it was central Alabama. And when they stopped him, they found the PlayStation minus the cord.
Okay.
So all these things were kind of fitting together. And the fact that he just, I say AWOL, I'm not sure what the official term was and how long he had to be gone from the military to be considered AWOL, but he wasn't on NES where he was supposed to be, and he was heading on a bus to Opelika, Alabama, when again, we had notified their authorities and said, hey, we sure wish you would pick this guy up for us. He's there, and he's going to be extradited to Escambia County.
And you believe, based on the investigation, that the crime actually took place here? But the body was transported after,
correct. Okay. But we believe that she was killed in the hotel room,
okay,
and transported to Mobile. He had rented a car. This the car that he was in, And then he returned to the base sometime later, and then he was on the run out from that point on.
And, you know, I think some people had been critical of you guys for releasing that she had been an escort. And I know Andy Hobbs had kind of addressed this previously, but to me, that's just, A, part of the fact pattern of the story, and B, part of the reminder that we have vulnerable people that, you know, people had this, I don't know, that some people, some professions are more vulnerable than others. That's certainly one.
Yeah, I mean, we were very careful. There's some things that we don't do. We didn't identify the when we found the body, we had a missing person. We didn't put that out yet. I mean, although we suspected that it, obviously mm-hmm. we were doing the investigation, we suspected that the missing person was the homicide victim that we found in Mobile, but we didn't contact the family yet. So some members of media, some members of other agencies put the information that they connected to.
I see. Okay.
And so that did happen, but we do. We try to be as transparent as possible, and the fact that they were staying at a hotel, and the fact that he was looking for an escort, and the fact that we believe he took advantage of her being an escort. And again, he did a Google search on what happens, you know, how many prostitutes are go unsolved, prostitute murders go unsolved. We think that was we want to be clear with the public in what we're doing and how we're doing it. But keeping in mind as best we can that we do want to protect the identities of victims, and we want to not compromise the integrity of the investigation itself. So there was discussion on whether we add that. Yeah. There was discussion on whether we add the fact that he was an active duty military, because we certainly appreciate not one bad apple doesn't you know spoil the whole bunch. It's
thousands of people, out right. of which one.
Right. But these two things were to us were important important part of the investigation. And so we wanted to make sure people understood what's going on throughout the investigation as best we can.
I appreciate that, and that's one of the things. You know, I'm often pretty deferential to you guys in terms of, you know, if you don't put out information, I'm not putting it out because caring for the victim, but also the compromising the integrity of the investigation, making sure that you're able to do your job. I know that's mission one, and you know if I'm like, as a news person, if I'm not helping you do your job, what am I doing? You know,
we made a comment at the end of our release, and it said that it was complicated by the fact that people put the information, they put two and two together. you know, as open and transparent as we want to be, I think it's important for us to allow the investigators to do their job. There's a potential that because a connection was made and they mm-hmm. put out that there was a body found, that the suspect, who we already had, obviously, we had already seized his phone. We already tracked that phone, but through a search warrant, when he knew that we had found the body, we felt like he would try to leave town, and to us, that would compromise the investigation, and it did. And luckily, our investigators were on top of it, and they found all other ways to locate this individual, but we weren't happy with the fact that the information was out, the identity was put out. And the fact that we were on to, you know, that level of the investigation, because again, it's our investigation. You should, in my opinion, allow us to do that, put that information out as we get it. We were hoping to, once we found the body, go ahead and pick him up. We weren't able to do that because the information was out. And then luckily, through good work,
we were able
to find him in Opelika and had the authorities over there find him. That could have turned out much differently.
Wow. All right. Turning to some good things, although it's a good thing about a bad thing, but you know, you're doing this memorial plaza out in front of the sheriff's office, mm-hmm. and you're going to do a groundbreaking coming up on the 16th. Is that right?
That's correct. Our Skidmore County Sheriff's Foundation is footing the bill and handling this, and we certainly appreciate the work that they're doing. So there's no tax dollars going into this, even though I think you could probably use tax dollars for this. We are not. I think that I appreciate the work of the foundation. We're going to have a groundbreaking, as you mentioned, on the 16th of January. Everyone's going to be invited. We'll probably put more information out. We've been already raising funds in earnest about trying to get this thing taken care of. It's a memorial plaza, and mm-hmm. it's not just a memorial. So I think that's going to be much larger, probably three times as large as the existing memorial, which we've already moved and relocated to our Cantonment or Molino precinct. So we're very excited about a new way to honor those who paid that ultimate sacrifice.
And you're doing a swearing in on Monday, so we'll have that take place. I know you're big. I know you don't love these formalities and events. I do have a question though. In advance, I know I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. Uh-oh. Okay, but you had sat in with Brent on Cat Country doing the morning show on Friday, right?
Yeah.
You sat in with him and kind of co-hosted with him. And, of course, you're here with me most Tuesdays. Which show do you like better?
Well, I think the show that I'm on currently is my favorite today. And the one that it was on Thursday or Friday was also a favorite of mine.
At that time.
You can have two favorite children. It happens that way. You can have two favorite teams.
I'm not sure that's true, Dad, but you know.
Well, I'll tell you, the talk format is really good. Really, you guys do a great job. But you got country music playing over there, and if you play a little music in the background, you can really up your game. And it's probably against your rules.
I was
here.
Just 100% curious how you would diplomatic this answer. So, Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, thanks for all you do. Thanks for what you folks are going to be dealing with tonight. I know it's always a little bit of a hectic time on New Year's Eve. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you next Tuesday, I hope. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Not seeing any delays on 98 either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Twitchy flashbacks right now, John.
I was. Oh my gosh. It's like, okay, controller ready. Let's go. I mean, seriously, I was ready to go at that point.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President-elect Donald Trump has called Mar-a-Lago the center of the universe.
World leaders and famous figures such as Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and Tesla and ex-owner Elon Musk are all flocking to Trump's Palm Beach Winter White House as he maps out his second presidential term. Trump declaring on Truth Social that his resort is the center of the universe, adding even Bill Gates asked to come. Trump says the mood has changed this time around compared with his first term, saying, "Everybody wants to be my friend." Karen Curtis, Miami.
Well, that story was kind of all sizzle and no steak, wasn't it?
Well, also, like, the winter White House, it makes me think of, like, Tsar Trump. You know, like, it has that kind of Russian aristocracy feel to it.
A little bit, yeah.